أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah, we laud Him, beseech His help, and in Him we seek forgiveness. And we seek the refuge of Allah from the mischiefness of our souls and the wrongdoings of all of our actions. Whomever Allah guides, no one can lead him astray. And whomever Allah leaves to be left astray, no one will be able to guide them. And I publicly, without any compulsion, bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship as a deed except Allah, who is alone, he has no partner. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah with the correct type of fear, and do not die except as Muslims. O human beings, fear your Lord who created you from one soul, and from that one soul it's meat, and from the two of them countless men and women spread abroad in multitudes. Remember the wounds that bore you, keep the relations of family ties among you, for surely Allah is a watcher over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct. Allah will forgive you of your sins and repair all of your sins to you. And whoever obeys Allah, His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will have achieved the greatest of all successes in this life and the next. As to what proceeds, surely the best speech is the book of Allah. And the best guidance is the sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of all things in this noble, illustrious deen of al-Islam are newly invented matters. For every novelty in al-Islam is an innovation. And every innovation is a going astray. And every astray is in the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلَقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Surely you, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have the most highest exemplary example of character among all the created things. Surely you, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has the highest form of moral character out of all the creatures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created to walk on to. This ayah, among the many other ayahs in the Quran, along with the hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, makes us know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself has the highest standard moral character, and that he himself invites us to have high moral character. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to straighten out the people's behavior. And in the acquisition of knowledge, the end result of the knowledge is that we behave with the highest standard of character. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he says in his book, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, so that he should teach them the book, meaning Al-Qur'an al-Kareem. And he should teach them the hikmah, which is the sunnah, as Imam al-Shafi'i and the other scholars of Islam of the past have said that the word hikmah or wisdom here means the sunnah. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and he should sanctify them and purify them and sanitize them, meaning that he should make their moral behavior the highest. So it is for the Muslim that we, the Muslims who believe in Allah on the last day, should have the highest form of moral character, because this is the reason the Prophet was sent. The Prophet alayhi salam was sent to teach us the book and how to implement the book, which is his sunnah, and finally to make us grow in our moral behavior, as he has told us, "Bu'ithtu aw innama bu'ithtu li'atimma makarim al-akhlaq." I have only been sent to perfect the morals of a human being. I have only been sent for one reason. That one reason, the paramount reason, is that we change our behavior. And part of that changing of our behavior, brothers and sisters in Islam, is being very careful not to speak about things that we have no knowledge. Not to speak about things of which we don't know the whole story. Not to speak about things of which we don't have the entire picture. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to show us what is one of the meanings of good character, as Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyakul khayran aw liyaskut." Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, and if you notice in this hadith, he didn't say whoever believes in Allah and the angels, or whoever believes in Allah and the book, or whoever believes in Allah and the messengers, or the divine decree. The Prophet, in almost the majority of the hadith that start out like this, almost all of them say, whoever believes in Allah and the last day, trying to call our attention to the last day that we're going to stand in front of Allah, let them speak good or be silent. Let them speak good, and another narration, aw liyaskut, shut up. It is a part of our development as Muslims, the character that separates us from the disbelievers, the character that separates us from the mushrikun, is that we say that which is true, that we say that which is correct, and we say that which we can verify, but we don't say anything. This is one of the distinguishing factors between us and the other people. The other people, they speak without knowledge. The Muslims, they speak with knowledge, and if they don't have knowledge, they say, "Ma adri," I don't know. And if they can't say anything good, they zip their tongue and their lips. And the people of the past, many of them have many things, pages, literally volumes, on keeping silent. And one of the great writers of the past, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahmatullahi alayhi, he has informed us that this tongue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for us is an organ or a tool that should be used for the dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Or the recitation of the Quran, or the mentioning of the sayings of our beloved Prophet Abu Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or inviting people to Islam, or speaking kind words to each other while being quiet. If we're not using the tongue for those things, speaking kindly to our wives, our husbands, our children, our non-Muslim neighbors, our co-workers, which is all part of the development of our character, then we should be quiet. Because in this dunya, brothers and sisters, there's only two receipts that you're going to get. There's not a third one. There's not a fourth one. There are only two receipts. Whatever you say or whatever you do is either going to be for you or against you. You're going to pick up one of those receipts in the next life. What you purchased in this life with your tongue or your bodily limbs, you only want to get one of two receipts.
It's either going to be a receipt that is for you, or it's going to be a receipt that is against you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, وَلَا تَقْفُوا مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Don't say things that you don't know. Don't talk about things that you don't have the entire picture. No Muslim, rather no human being that has sense, would get into their cars and ride down the street in this city of Atlanta, only looking through the windshield. No rational, sane person that wants to be safe, keep himself secure, and not hurt other people, ride down the street looking through the windshield. The intelligent, rational, mature, sane person, when they drive, they look through the windshield. And they use the rearview mirror. And they use the side mirror. The one on the right and the one on the left. And occasionally they turn around. They want to see the whole picture before they pull off. And when they ride, they want to see the whole picture. Nobody in their right mind will drive down the street and look in front of them only. Likewise, when we're riding through this dunya, we have to see the whole picture. And if we don't, we might harm ourselves, or we might harm someone else at least. Or we might kill ourselves, or kill someone else at most. And there are many examples of this, of acting or speaking without knowledge in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And we'd like to give you one of them. One of them in the Quran, of which the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah, was reprimanded by Allah. Rasulullah was reprimanded by Allah for acting without knowledge. We have the story of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the books of Hadith and Sirah, where he conquered the people called Banu Mustalaq. And these people of Banu Mustalaq, immediately when he conquered them, they took Shahada. Al-Harith, Al-Mustalaq, the leader of the group, the leader of the tribe of those people, his entire tribe took Shahada. And among them that was captured was the Prophet's wife, Juwayriya, radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was the daughter of Al-Harith. And the companions became ashamed that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's in-laws and the tribe of his wife was still in bondage as slaves. And slavery will last until Yawm al-Qiyamah, inshallah. So they freed them all. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent one of his companions, whose name was Al-Walid ibn Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to go retrieve the zakah from them, because Buni al-Islamu ala khams. Islam is based and built on five things: the bearing witness with the two shahadas, the establishment of the salah, the payment of the zakah, the hajj to the house, and fasting Ramadan. So when you accept Islam and those conditions come, you have to pay the zakah. So the Prophet sent Al-Walid ibn Uqba to get the zakah from them. But because Al-Walid, as we say, had a beef with the tribe of Banu Mustalaq back in the days, when he got in the middle of the road, he changed his mind, either because Shaitan or his nafs whispered to him. He turned around and told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they refused to give you the zakah and they tried to kill me. They refused to pay the zakah and they tried to kill me, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are many narrations to the story. So the Prophet in one narration sent Khalid ibn Walid, and we all know who he is. He sent the sword of Islam to get that zakah from them. And at the same time when he sent Khalid ibn Walid, thinking that those people were withholding the zakah, which is a form of apostasy, especially if you believe that the zakah should not be paid as the people did in the time of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He sent Khalid ibn Walid to get the zakah from them, and at the same time, the Banu Mustalab people were under the impression that the Messenger of Allah was angry with them because they didn't receive anyone that he was to send to receive, to take the zakah from them. So they were under the mistaken notion, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was under the mistaken notion because of the statement of one individual and not checking out the entire situation. When he got there, as one narration said, Khalid said to them, أَمَنَحْتُمْ الزَّكَاةِ وَطَرَبْتُمْ رَسُولِي. This is what it was said, that the Prophet said to them, or Khalid said to them, you're going to withhold the zakat and try to get rid of my messenger, meaning the messenger of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, no, wallahi, we didn't prevent anything. We didn't hold the zakat. No one was sent to us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down this ayah in Surah Al-Hujurat. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu in ja'akum fatiqun binaba'in fatabayyanu أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فأصبحوا بما فعلتم نارمين. Oh, you who believe, when a fasiq comes to you with any information, verify it, so that you won't harm the people out of ignorance, meaning not looking at the entire picture. And thusly, after that, becoming of the remorseful and the regretful. Allah sent this ayah down, brothers and sisters, to teach us a lesson that we should not say or act without knowledge. It is not befitting for the Muslim who's trying to improve their character to think that just because you don't drink anymore, or smoke anymore, or curse anymore, or chase women anymore, or allow men to chase you, that you have perfected your character, or you are improving your character, and you are, inshallah. But there's also another important aspect of Islam in building up our character, and that is saying the things that you're sure about, and not speaking about things that you're not sure about. And if we do this, then we won't be included. If we refrain from transmitting, from making tabligh, from conveying everything that we hear, if we refrain from it, when the brother gets on the phone, or the sister gets on the phone and tells you, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear what happened to so-and-so? So-and-so gave his wife a khula. Brother, this, he did that, she did that. If you refrain from transmitting everything that you hear, then you won't be included in the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the authority of Abu Darda in the collection of Ibn Hibban, when he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَفَى فِي الْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. It is sufficient for a person to be considered a liar. Not that they told the untruth. It's sufficient for you to be considered a liar that you convey everything that you hear. And another narration, كَتَى بِالْمَرْءِ إِثْمًا أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا يَسْمَعُ. It is sufficient for a person to be considered a sinner that they convey everything that they hear. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our tongues incarcerated. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. In conclusion, brothers and sisters in Islam, we now give you a story from the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this hadith is found in the collection of Abu Dawood, in the book of Siyam, in the book of fasting. Under the section, it is not permissible for a woman to fast without the permission of her husband. The hadith is on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said, جاء جاءت امرأة الى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ونحن عنده فقالت يا رسول الله ان زوجي صفوان بن المعطل يضربني اذا صليت ويفطرني اذا صمت ولا يصلي صلاة الفجر حتى تطلع الشمس. A woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she said to him, while we were with him, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said, while we were with him, meaning the Sahaba, O Messenger of Allah, surely my husband beats me. Now this doesn't sound too bad because it's permissible for a man to beat his wife. It's okay to tap her, to strike her. But listen to what he was beating me for. O Messenger of Allah, surely my husband beats me because I pray. And not only did she say he beats me because I pray, she mentioned his name. She didn't just say my husband, she mentioned his name so that each and every one of us until Yawm al-Qiyamah will know the man who did this to his wife by name. Safwan ibn al-Mu'attal radiyallahu anhu. He beats me when I make salat. All you walis right now, and all you women who want to get married, there's no way in the world that you walis would give a woman who's under your charge to a man who's known for beating his wife. You wouldn't do it. And you sisters would not want a man who's known for beating his wife. How much more a man that beats his wife will make a salah to Allah? In addition to this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prevents me from fasting. And he doesn't pray Salatul Fajr until after the sun has risen. Wallahi, if we would have just heard that part of the story, we would say that man is a criminal. No sister would marry that man. If we just heard her side. And then the hadith goes on and says, Safwan was also there when she was making her complaint. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started asking Safwan his side. So he can get the whole story. Not looking for the windshield driving down the street, but looking for all directions. What do you have to say now? It's implied. He said, Ya Rasulullah, Amma qawluha yadribuni idha sallaytu. As for her statement that he beats me when I pray, he said, Fa innaha taqra'u bi surataini wa qad nahaytuha. She reads two surahs and I have prohibited her from reading two surahs. Meaning she reads long. Alif Lam Mim. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. بقرة. آل عمران. نساء. مائدة. أنعام. أعراف. أنفال. توبة. She reads more than one surah. She reads long, long, long surahs. The longest surahs, and she makes the salah long. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو كانت سورة واحدة لكفت الناس. If there was only one surah, meaning Al-Fatiha, that would have been sufficient for the people. وَأَمَّا قَوْلُهَا As for her statement, Messenger of Allah, يُفَطِّرُنِي He makes me break my fast. He said, فَإِنَّهَا تَنْتَلِقُ فَكَسُومُ وَأَنَا رَجُلٌ شَابٌ فَلَا أَصْبِرُ He said, Messenger of Allah, she goes and she fasts, and I'm a young man, I don't have any patience. Meaning I want to be with my wife intimately. I'm young, I'm not 150, I'm young. I want to be with my wife. She's fasting all the time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala yawma idhin, he said that particular day, La tasumu imra'atun illa bi'izni zawjiha. It's not permissible for a woman to fast without the permission of her husband, meaning in Ramadan. Wa amma qawluha. And as for her statement, O Messenger of Allah, La usalli salatul fajr hatta tatlu' ash-shams. I don't pray salatul fajr until after the sun rises or has risen. He said, Fa inna ahlu bayt qad urifa lana dhaak, la nakadu nastayqidu hatta tatlu' ash-shams. Faqala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Idha istayqalta fasalli. He said, my tribe, my crew, my working crew, my people are known. That when everybody is sleeping, 12 a.m., 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., while all of you are sleeping, my tribe, my crew is known. We are all night going to the wells, getting the water to bring it back. So in the morning when you wake up, you have water. Everybody knows my people. And what happens is, right before Fajr comes in, we're tired, we go to sleep. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you wake up, then make the salah. Brothers and sisters in Islam, these two stories in the first and second part of the khutbah lets us know that we have to be very careful to not speak without knowledge. And that if we really want to build up our character, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, مَا مِن شَيْءٍ أَفْقَلُ فِي الْمِيزَانِ مِنْ حُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ. There's nothing on the scale. And another narration, يوم القيامة, on the day of resurrection, there's nothing on the scale that is heavier on يوم القيامة than good character. Nothing. No matter how much money you have, how many niqabs you wear, how high your thawb is above your ankles, how long your beard is, how many ayat of Quran you memorize, there's nothing heavier on the scale on Yawm al-Qiyamah than having good character, and part of that good character, part of the perfection of your Islam and your Iman, min husni al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi. It is a part of the perfection of a person's Islam and their Iman that they leave off things that don't concern them. They leave off things that don't concern them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those people that when the people email us or fax us or get on the phone and try to say things to us from a shaitan or some from other shaitan from among the human beings, that we verify it, we check it out, and we don't transmit it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who only use our tongues for the good. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those people who will be the closest proximity to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.